Welcome back to Techonomics. I'm your host, Jason Middleton. Solar City and Tesla, are they two great tastes that go great together? Well, not according to Wall Street. It's This Week in Elon Musk, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. Elon Musk is proposing to use a stake in Tesla to buy Solar City. Thing is, he already owns 26% of Tesla and 22% of Solar City. Hashtag conflict of interest. Many investors on Wall Street see it that way, at least. Mostly because Solar City's market cap is $2.2 billion. Musk is offering $2.8 billion of Tesla equity to buy the solar panel enterprise. Momentum stock guru and Pied Piper, Musk has finally been able to rattle investors with this proposed purchase. But that may well be the short-term view. Yes, the premium being offered by Musk looks a little steep right now, but if he finds the synergistic sweet spot I think he's aiming for, that $2.8 billion may look like a steal. Tesla's plan to take over Solar City is part of the company's efforts to become a one-stop shop for energy, from generation to storage to transportation. That's what Musk said after announcing the deal. Here's Eddie Elfenbein, editor of the Crossing Wall Street blog, speaking with CNBC earlier this week.
You know, I don't think I've ever seen Wall Street so one-sided in hating a deal. And I have to agree, I think this is a terrible deal. I mean, look at Solar City. This is a company that Goldman Sachs said is the single weakest competitor in its entire sector. The company is burning tons of cash, and Elon Musk decides to not only buy it, but to pay a premium for it. The thing about Tesla and about Elon Musk is their most valuable asset, it's not the batteries, it's not the cars, it's not their cash on the balance sheet or anything like that. It's that people trust Elon Musk. They see him as a visionary. They see him as being different from a standard businessman and somebody who's going to change the world. And when he does this, he seems just like a regular businessman, just an industrialist from a bygone age.
Elfenbein may well be right that Musk plays by his own rules, kind of like Steve Jobs and even Howard Hughes. Both of those industrialists believed in walled garden approaches to their businesses. Jobs tied together high-margin hardware and high-end software that Apple took a slice of every time an app was purchased in its app store. Hughes owned everything from the oil fields to make jet fuel to the entire fleet of jets at his airline, TWA. And then there's cult figure Elon Musk. Musk has hundreds of millions of his own money invested in Tesla, Solar City, and SpaceX. Wall Street likes it when the CEO or chairman stands to take a bath if things don't work out well. Because Musk has shares in Tesla and Solar City, and in fact, he's the single largest shareholder in each, he will recuse himself and not vote his shares, leaving it for others to make the merger happen. Solar City's value to Tesla is it makes Musk into an energy CEO as well. All those Tesla electric cars can be fueled with clean, green solar energy. Because that gigafactory in Nevada is not just for battery packs for Teslas, it's for larger batteries that can fuel entire homes cleanly via the rays of the sun. And the sun shines bright and hot in Nevada and other western states, and this solar move is not without precedent. Apple CEO Tim Cook wants the new headquarters, which in Tech Talk is ginormous, to be entirely renewable as well. Musk wrote in a blog post that the deal would form, quote, the world's only vertically integrated energy company offering end-to-end clean energy products to customers, starting with the car that you drive and the energy that you use to charge it, and would extend to everything else in your home or business. He then reiterated that point in a conference call with investors Wednesday morning. As you look ahead to the Model 3, he said, a $35,000 car, well, that same person at that same moment, we could probably sell them roughly an equivalent value of solar panels and a power wall, effectively doubling the sale at that time and then putting it all in the same name. Now comes the hard part, convincing regulators that it's cool if the largest shareholder in each company is the same person. Musk says any board members with personal ties to the deal will recuse themselves. But if that holds true, who will be able to vote? Dig this. The seven Tesla directors include Musk and four others close to him. Brad Buss, the former CFO of Solar City, Antonio Gracias, a member of the board of Solar City and Musk's company SpaceX, venture investor Steven Jurvetson, a board member of SpaceX, and Kimball Musk, Elon Musk's brother. Solar City's eight-member board includes Musk and four other intimates, Lyndon and Peter Rive, John Fisher, a business partner of Jurvetson's, and Gracias again. Those are the obstacles Musk faces, and given his track record, they're likely pretty surmountable. And that's This Week in Elon Musk, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. I'm Jason Middleton. Up next, a quick economics teachable moment. With trading getting more and more complex, especially among securities trading, investment firms are in constant pursuit of people called quantitative analysts or quants.
I don't know, a teachable moment.
It could be a teachable moment for them. This
ends up being what's called a teachable moment.
Quantitative analysts design and implement complex models that allow financial firms to price and trade securities. They are employed primarily by investment banks and hedge funds, but sometimes also by commercial banks, insurance companies, and management consultancies, in addition to financial software and information providers. Here's more of the working definition of quants from Investopedia.com.
Quants must precisely model securities, so they need math and computation skills, including expertise in calculus, linear algebra, differential equations, and statistics.
Oh, but wait, there's more.
Quants need the intelligence to master complex mathematical domains, the willingness to tackle difficult challenges, and the strength to cope with extreme pressure. Success stems from knowledge, talent, merit, and dedication, not the ability to sell, network, or play politics. Only a few possess the right stuff.
So, the next time you're at a dinner party and there's a quant at the table, you might want to take some precise notes and then share them with us. Tweet me at KGOJason. This has been Techonomics, a weekly look at Silicon Valley tech and the economy. Thanks for dialing us up on your listening device of choice. We're back next Sunday at noon, and links to all segments are on KGORadio.com. For producer Liana Wilcox, I am Jason Middleton. Have a great rest of your day.